26th chapter of the book of Job. Read verses 7 through 14 there. We'll be reading some words that Job was speaking in regards to the Lord. And in part he says there, "He stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing. He binds up the water in his thick clouds, yet the clouds are not broken under it. He covers the face of his throne and spreads his cloud over it. He drew a circular horizon on the face of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his rebuke. He stirs up the sea with his power, and by his understanding he breaks up the storm. By his spirit he adorned the heavens. His hand pierced the fleeing serpent. Indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways, and how small a whisper we hear of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand?" Let's bow our heads together here. Heavenly Father, we know that you're a powerful God, and we know that you're a loving God. We know you're gracious and kind to your people. Father, we do take these things for granted, all of these things that we know of you. We can take for granted, Lord, as we occupy ourselves in this life that you've given us. But Lord, we can take these moments, like now, to recognize who you are once again, be refreshed in knowing who you are, and again comforted, Lord, by who we are to you. Thank you, Father, that we're in your hands, we're in your heart, we're in your thoughts. You'd lead us and direct us. We pray that you would do so tonight and in the days to come. Bless this word to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's pretty cold outside tonight, isn't it? It's been kind of chilly all day. It's been warm up to today, it seems. It's been rather unseasonably warm. Then all of a sudden it snapped, even snowed on us a little bit. And I was thinking all day today how appropriate this lesson was, because the holidays feel like they're right around the corner. And today it really felt like the holidays in regards to just the weather and the temperature and all of those things. And with the holidays, I was talking with my mom just prior to service. We were talking about, of course, food, as you can see, you know, of course we love our time together, but my goodness, I mean, we can't have a holiday or a celebration or some kind of anything without having an enormous amount of calories to go with it. It's just how we do things here in this country. But the holidays are coming. Along with the holidays are food. Along with the foods of the holidays are the desserts. And along with the desserts will be pie, as you can see in our slide here. I'm going to have some pie. I mean, there's no getting around it. I don't know that I have pie ever any other time other than at Thanksgiving and or Christmas time. And I eat enough at Thanksgiving and Christmas for the entire year, probably. I do enjoy some pie. That being said, I thought about the anatomy of pie in regards to specifically the lesson that we're having this evening. I was reading in Job here recently, and I came to this passage, and I mean, my mind is silly sometimes, and illustrations come up, and well, this is our illustration tonight. Kind of a silly one, but I think it's valid and pertinent. And I was thinking about these, about pie. And every pie, I think in order to qualify as a pie, you have to have a crust of some sort. This one here that you see here, that's a decent looking crust. You can tell that's homemade, you know what I'm saying? You can tell that's not just some off the production line kind of crust that you can buy at Price Chopper or Walmart in the frozen section and just lay it out there. Pies have crust. It has to be some kind of pastry sort of thing that might completely enclose it, or it might just hold the goods that are inside of the pie, right? But it's the vessel, right? It's that element that holds and sometimes encloses the pie. And I think that I can confidently say that the crust is everyone's least favorite part. I'm not going to take a vote on that. I'm just going to assume that this is so. The crust is everyone's least favorite part. Now, you can like a crust, but it's not the centerpiece and the focus of the pie. I was thinking about the crusts of pies. I dig a graham crust. You know, on a cheesecake, man, I prefer to have a nice buttery graham crust and then, you know, well, a lot of cheesecake. And I enjoy the crust, and it contributes to the quality of the pie, but at best, At best, that crust contributes to the overall, it enhances and complements the goods of that pie. At worst, it's soggy. At worst, it's burnt. At worst, it detracts from the quality of the pie. You probably weren't expecting to hear so much about pie this evening. And as a matter of fact, it's one of those words that the more you say it, the weirder it sounds. And I feel really weird saying pie over and over again from the pulpit. But when you get down to it, and I'll try to leave pie behind, the crust of the pie is ideally it contributes, but for the most part, almost every pie that you have is just going to be a vehicle, right? A vehicle for the goods that are inside the pie. You don't remember the crust so much, you remember what's inside. It yields to that main event that is banana cream or pumpkin or berry or apple or whatever you like. In chapter 26 here of Job, he speaks of a number of God's works. Lots of them. He stretches out the north, the vastness of that direction, over empty space. Consider what Job knew of the cosmos in the day. Consider that when you consider what he's talking about here. He hangs the earth on nothing. That's pretty much right. We're out here floating, this ball just floating out in the vastness that is space. He binds up the water in his thick clouds, he says, yet the clouds are not broken under it. He drew a circular horizon, it says in verse 10, on the face of the waters, the boundary of light and darkness. Verse 12, he stirs up the sea with his power. Essentially, you know, God does this and a hurricane happens. You know what I'm saying? That's all figurative, certainly. But it's nothing to the Lord. By his spirit he adorned the heavens, he goes on to say. Despite being so small, and despite having limited understanding, and despite all of our knowledge and our wisdom and our education in this day, Job understood the grandness of God's power. Let's turn to Job chapter 9. See something else that he says there. Job chapter 9 and verse 5. He speaks more about him, kind of saluting to the Lord here, and I don't mind ever bragging on God. He removes the mountains and they do not know when he overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble. He commands the sun and it does not rise. He seals off the stars. He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He made the bear, Orion, and the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. Those three that I mentioned there are constellations. He does great things past finding out, yes, wonders without number. And back in our passage there in Job 26:14, all these grand wonders that he's talking about, they're the mere edges of his ways, he says. These remarkable works that God has done, that Job is pointing out, saying, this is who I know that I serve. This is who I know is out there. This is who I know created me. This is who I know did all of these things. These are just the edges of his ways. These are just the crust, you could say. And there's where my mind took this passage. Edges are borders, fringes. That's what the word means. It means an edge, a fringe. Just the very farthest outside. So you look at that pie that we looked at just a moment ago, and you see the crust that goes around it. Everything else that's good is on the inside, right? Everything that you really appreciate in a pie is on the inside of that. These ways that he has, these remarkable things that he did, they're the crust. The throwaway bits. You know what I'm saying? Well, I mean, I watched a number of kids. Well, I'll use me as an example again. More pie talk. I'd get into a pie, I'll chew that crust. If it's nothing to speak of, snap, 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 snap. Toss it, man. Get rid of it. Why waste your time on it? You know what I mean? If it has anything of any bearing and it can go into the thing and just, you know, take it with the rest of the inside stuff, fantastic. But typically, if it's not adding anything to it, snap, send it off. Mabel can enjoy that, I suppose. All these works, they're the crust. They're the edges of his ways, according to Job. And Job got it right. These were the fringes. This is the outside, the throwaway bits, I guess you could say. Do not misunderstand me and think that I'm saying that we're not to be good stewards of God's creation. That's not what I'm saying at all. Greta will be on me if I don't talk about, well, if I don't, you know. I'm not going to admire the things and get up on the soapboxes of protecting this earth. It is, we are to be good stewards, but the fact of the matter is God's creation, all these things that he has set in motion, It's the outside. It's the crust. It's the throwaway. Jesus himself said in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away. My word, will by no means pass away. So if this cosmos and all this creation, all these things, if these are just the edges of God's creation, if this is just the crust of it, if this is just the quote-unquote throwaway things, what's the good stuff? What is the innards that we're all looking for? What's that berry tang? What's the yummy thing that you go after and say, this is the goods of the pie. This is the filling part of it. All of this stuff here, this fantastic thing that Job is looking at and saying, look what he has done. Look at his power. Look at his works. Look at everything. That's nothing. What's the inside? What comprises that cream filling? Man, I could do this all day. The richness of it and the substance of it. What's the center of that PBJ we were talking about the other day? After you bite off the crust. Well, to get right down to it, you are. You are. You are the substance of the work of God. You're the good stuff. Now that might sound rather narcissistic, and I've been... Well, in recent days, it seems like, well, in the news and in, well, society's statements and just, you know, the general overtone of things of faith, well, it's not a positive one. I'm not sure that it ever has been corporately, obviously, but it seems of late, there's just a lot of spite. A lot of rough words being cast out there about people of faith, and some of it, I'll be honest with you, is well-deserved. God's people, well, they often don't Christian well. We don't represent ourselves entirely well sometimes. This isn't narcissistic to say that we are the good part of God's creation. We're the substance of this pie. It's not saying that the world revolves around us. It's not saying that there's anything great and good in us. But what I am saying to you is that you, as a child of God, are the most important thing to God in the world. That's not corny. That's not cheesy. That's not just lip service. That's fact. You are eternal. And that means something. Luke chapter 15 and verse 10. Jesus says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Joy over one sinner who repents. One sinner who repents is one sinner who has entered into eternal life for all of eternity. And that brings joy to God. God looked at creation, saw that it was very good. He created, you know, the oceans. He created light. He created the firmament. He created all of these things, saw that it was good. But none of those things is eternal. None of those things does he feel needs to last for all eternity. These things are going to go away. Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. God doesn't destroy things that are profitable to him, that are profitable and good and bring him joy. And he doesn't destroy you. Child of God, once you say, Lord, I want to be yours, he says, good. You are good. All of this he crafted and created for this, for these people, for you and for me. He goes on to say in verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire. The elements will melt with fervent heat. All these temporal things that are going to be put away. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That which Jesus went before to prepare for us. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, because you are more valuable to me. You are more important to me than all of this. That says something to me. All of these grand things that he has done, merely the crust, merely the edges of his work. And you're the cream filling. Yeah, it sounds silly. That brings me joy. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom, in the middle of, in the center of, with all the edges around, among whom you shine as lights in the world. In the Greek, that word is cosmos. In the center of everything, you shine as lights because of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And where is the word hidden as a child of God? It's hidden in our hearts that we might not sin against him. Job hit the nail on the head, talking about the edges. You know, I'm thrilled when NASA wants to send up telescopes and when they want to do, you know, well, they said that they're going back to the moon by 2025, perhaps, pushed it back a little bit, but they say they want to go to the moon in 2025. We got a rover on Mars right now sending back pictures of places we can't live at right now, you know, but it's cool. Red mountains out there, right? And the Hubble telescope, we know we've seen tons of pictures off of that. I am so down with all of that stuff. I love to see pictures of places that, well, that are remarkable and show me the power and the immense capability of my God. But the fact of the matter is those are the edges of his power. That's the crust. That's the throwaway. And it all comes down to very, very simple, small things. You and you and you and you and you. That's what he finds valuable. All those edge things are just a vehicle for the substance inside the pie. They are mere edges of his way. And how small a whisper we hear of him and the thunder of his power. Who can understand that work that he's doing in us and through us? Despite all of that, what he's doing in your heart right now, changing you from glory to glory, having put Christ the Son, the King of Kings within you, that's the good stuff. That's the substance. And in this construct that is creation, I'm thankful that we are the good stuff. He's decided that we are what brings him joy, and we are what he considers the good stuff.